Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Ray Brewer to talk about high school basketball, the final week of the regular season. We just spent about 10 minutes pre-show trying to figure out this new tournament bracket. As we've messed up the last couple times we've come to you, every team will make the playoffs, and it starts next week. So these
Secta makes the playoffs.
Every single team makes the playoffs. That's why we just had such a tough time figuring out the bracket, because the actual bracket isn't posted. There's just a bunch of dates. And we're like, why are there so many dates? Oh, yeah, because we always forget every team makes the playoffs. And when every team makes the playoffs, there's got to be a lot of extra rounds. It seems like at this time of the season in past years, we've been a little more exciting. There's some races this week, but I mean, I guess the games have a little bit less significance this week because all that's mattering is positioning. We'll try to break down some of the interesting things going on, but yeah, a little crazy. Everyone has a shot at the state championships still. You can go 0-30 and you still got a shot.
So you're telling me that Secta has a chance to beat Gorman?
You're really harping on Secta. That's the one you don't want making the playoffs, right?
How many times have I went off on a realignment rant on Prep Sports Now?
Secta's only 0-8 in league. Sierra Vista's 0-10. There might be even the
maybe
even.
They should play each other best of seven game series, and the NIAA will feel good because they've handed out enough participation trophies.
Like I said, I haven't seen the actual bracket, but I wonder, I mean, with all these extra rounds, maybe they will be playing each other like a playing game. Someone will get to win.
Well, maybe, yeah, because now they're in the same region, right?
Right. So, yeah, I kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent there, but it is just crazy that we're going to see all these teams play a little bit more. But, you know, cynicism aside, I think that these division titles still matter to schools, as they should. There was a lot of tight divisions this year, and a lot of them are coming down to the wire. They are going to be decided over these next few days. Which league is interesting you the most as we wind down here?
Yeah, I do like how the schedule this week gives us the games we want to see, right? Coronado Liberty, Gorman Clark. And you know, we've always said that some combo of Gorman Clark Coronado will be part of the state tournament or, you know, the final four team standing. And I'm fairly confident in Gorman, obviously, because they haven't lost to a Nevada opponent in a while. Fairly confident in Clark, but Coronado I'm a little worried about. Since we last spoke, they lost at the South Point to Clark pretty convincingly by 30, right?
Yeah, I'll say pretty convincingly.
Okay. And then last week, as one of us picked, I'll let you guess which one.
Hey, that's true. You're on fire in the picks.
Yes, I am. Foothill took Coronado out to the back of the woodshed and had their way with them. And so now it's like, okay, Coronado's got, you know, some great players in, you know, Pop Jr. and Jaden Hardy's like second best player in his class, but they're beat losing by these significant margins. Is Coronado at risk of not being in the equation? Kaufman's going to text me and yell at me. So.
I think, you know, because the little rant we just went off on everyone being in and the playoffs being so big, I think it would be drastic to say Coronado's out of the mix. I think they're clearly still in the mix. I mean, they have a chance to still make it really deep. I will say, I don't think it's unfair, though, to say that they've been a little disappointing and that they
they lost by 30.
They're not where we thought they would be and that they're going to have to get a little bit better to, you know, make something of being in that mix. You know, that being said, I think you were the one that picked Foothill. Pat on the back to you for that. But I do think I was the one at the beginning of the year saying maybe we shouldn't be shortchanging Foothill so much. I mean, this is a team that seems like year after year is a little bit better than we expect. They're so consistent. You know, I know a new coach this year. We thought maybe things would be a little bit different, but I think the Clark loss maybe to me is still more concerning than the Foothill loss. I think Foothill's also very good, and they can catch you on a good night, even though I think we'd both agree Coronado has more pure talent. I mean, Foothill, always consistent, extremely well coached, and they have some guys on their own. They lose a close game there. I think that one doesn't concern me as much as you go up against a contender in that South Point game and just get destroyed.
Yeah, and you were right to your credit. You were on that Foothill bandwagon early this year, ever since we chatted with DeSantis at Red Rock. So I do give you credit on that. But it's just interesting in not just high school basketball, but you look at a season in sport, pick your favorite sport, pick your favorite team, even look at the Patriots of football, right? You know, at one point everybody wrote them off and they got hot at the right time and won. Every season for every team is going to have its peaks and valleys, right? And I think what we're seeing with Coronado is they're having one of their, you know, one of their valleys. You know, the talent is there, obviously. They have more talent than most. So I wouldn't necessarily, you know, maybe it's good to lose like this as an eye-opener. But if I'm Gorman, I'm like licking my chops saying, wow, this is it's opened up pretty nice for me. Right?
Yeah.
Because the other side is, you know, DP's been great. They're undefeated in the Northeast. Canyon's been disappointing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Arbor lost. Bonanza beat Centennial. So there goes my Centennial bandwagon. So there's really not a clear cut over on that side. So I think all roads lead to Gorman and Clark playing at least two more times after this week.
Yeah, and I guess that's the only thing that Gorman could be saying, well, it doesn't shape up that well. I mean, I still think it's like borderline criminal that they're going to have to play Clark. I mean, before they're going to have to play what the second after we look through the playoffs so much, I haven't even figured this out, but they're going to have to play early in the playoffs. And then is there's a chance they could both play again later, right? Or is it not going to be two teams?
So I think the state tournament's six teams this year or whatever it is, but I think three teams from each region go.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's the only thing Gorman could kind of – I think that's the only challenge they have. I agree with you as Clark, but it's just kind of a little strange that they're going to have to play them so early. And they play them again for the final time of the regular season on Thursday. Of course, the first game wasn't really all that close. Gorman pretty much controlled it. But, you know, I still think Clark has the players where if they put it all together, I don't think this is a – you know, totally crazy to think they could beat Gorman one of these times. And if they beat him at the right time, then that's disastrous for the Gales.
Okay, my pro-Clark argument is, A, Antoine Jackson has given Gorman fits in both games they've played. Last year and this year is what I mean. He had a double-double. He wore out Gorman on the inside. He got Cottrell in foul trouble.
And he's made a big leap this year. He's been better than ever.
He's been good. I think Frankie Collins is a great point guard. Sophomore's got a few offers, including UNLV. It's just he's going up against Zion Collins, I believe no relation. And Zion's become pretty darn elite this year, right?
And we haven't even mentioned Jalen Hill, who's averaging 18 points and 5 rebounds a game.
Who got in some foul trouble in the first game and was non-factor. In fact, when I got there, he barely even shot the ball. At the first game. So, you know, and then of course, you know, with Gorman, you still have all the pieces that you're going with it, right? Tate's a great shooter, even though the games I've seen, he hasn't been great, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're solid at a lot of spots. McClinton is just a big body, inside out, a good defender. Gorman plays great defense too. I mean, Collins is elite. McClendon could play. It's going to be tough to beat Gorman, but I'll tell you this. Clark's got a good core group of players. They're well-coached. Chad Beaton, who we have a high opinion of. I have a high opinion of. You know, I mean, we're 2-0 in Halloween hoops, he and I.
Yeah, no, I have a high opinion of Chad Beaton as well, former Sun Standout Coach of the Year winner.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I think it's hard to pick Clark right now, but I can see them winning.
You want a fun fact?
Yeah, I'm sorry I cut you off.
Now
I'm waiting on the edge of my seat for the fun fact.
So when Coach Chad left for a year to go to Cali, he was at Crossroads where Shaq's son was at.
Right.
Do you know who's at Crossroads now?
Oh, I do, but I can't think off the top of my head. I know I've seen it.
LeBron's son.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, that was exactly who, because I know when... I think LeBron's son was enrolled there even before he signed with the Lakers. That was one thing you kept seeing alluded to. So, yeah.
Fun world.
That's the place to be. I think there's a lot of high-profile celebrity offspring.
A lot of money. Just like my kid's grade school.
Yeah.
Well, high-profile.
Pretty similar.
Yeah.
So before we get to the picks, I guess you brought to my attention probably the most interesting final score I've seen this year.
This year?
Durango 14, Sierra Vista 13. What in the world was going on with this game last week?
Well, there's some videos that, well, first of all, it's a great argument for those folks who want the shot clock in high school basketball.
Is it just a money thing? Why isn't there a shot clock in high school basketball?
That's a good question. The thing I can't figure out, it appears that each state's able to make their own rules.
Yeah, I would certainly think so.
When all the states usually are under that National Federation of High School Sports banner, so you would think if they said do it, everybody would do it.
I don't know, though. Like, you think, like, overtime rules and stuff for other sports, but they're so different in every state.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So I don't know the reason why Team A didn't want to attack Team B or vice versa. I do know that the people that are pro shot clock have been on their shot clock bandwagon all week because there's videos of a player from Durango literally dribbling the ball at the top of the key while the clock ticked down. And the final was 14-13. Now, this is weird. When I cut my teeth in the business, I was the girls' basketball beat writer. And
for what? I didn't know this.
Yeah. Somebody did the boys, and I was on the relegated
UNLV?
The girl. No, high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so Basic had a coach who just died, Jan Van Tile, great guy. Whenever he'd get the overtime, the second he got possession of the ball, he would hold it and let the clock go all the way down to 4 minutes. He would take one attack at the basket. So I once covered a game that went to like triple overtime because they would miss that one shot, and that would be it. So anyways, they held on to the ball, Durango.
I'm searching everywhere for that video and can't find it.
And the odd thing is Vista hasn't even won a game this year.
Yeah, so something happened. I can't find the video, though. I think where you told me you saw it, it is not actually there. Maybe it got deleted, or maybe it was somewhere else. But, I don't really fault anyone. It's within the rules.
Yeah.
But I agree that I can't say that whoever is, advocating for the shot clock, I can't say they're wrong either, because no one wants to see a 14-13 game.
I was going to call Deshaun Henry and ask him about it, but I got busy and it didn't quite happen.
Yeah, one thing that does make it awkward is that Durango, would clearly have been the favorite in this game.
Oh, yeah. So they would have crushed
it. Yeah, it's not. This would make a little bit more sense to me if it was, a team that got an early lead against someone they're not supposed to beat and they tried to do this. But
yeah,
even
like
then,
if
you SECTA
played Gorman in the state tournament.
Yeah, and had like a 10-4 lead or something. Okay, I'm watching the video now. Sorry, that's for the... clearly we don't have the full story. It'd be interesting if we do. Maybe we can hear it within the next week. We can talk about it next week. But I also want to know why Vista isn't pressuring.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they be trying to trap them? So then I get, being kind of taken aback.
Could you imagine if you paid $5 to watch that game?
Yeah, that wouldn't be happy. But then at the same time, like we said, Vista is the underdog in this game, so maybe they should be trying to shorten the game. Maybe they should be sitting back for several minutes, but then eventually I think you got to try to get the ball.
Could Vista football do this against Gorman football?
Well, no, because we still have a play clock in football. Thank God.
That would have been the key to victory.
Delay a game, delay a game, delay a game. I don't know. Interesting, interesting topic, but I think, the only reason I could think there's not a shot clock is a money thing to put. You'd have to put the clocks in everywhere, right? Other than that, I don't know why we wouldn't have it. I'm all for it. I also, without knowing the full story here, it's hard for me to really give my full opinion, but it's within the rules. So I'm not going to rip anyone either.
No. And again, yeah, I'd like to know the full story because, Deshaun Henry's a great guy. I love him. So I would definitely not call him out. It's curious, though.
So Durango 14, Sierra Vista 13. We mentioned the Southeast coming down to the wire after Coronado's little downturn. Anything else stand out to you before we pick this final set of regular season games?
Coming down the home stretch, yeah.
All right, that's it. I guess we'll just get to the picks then. We're starting with, speak of the devil, Durango they're going to Spring Valley, and I'm almost sure this is a typo, but it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Given our recent discussion, you have Durango winning 80-10.
Oh, do
against
I?
Spring Valley. 70-point win for the Trailblazers.
Yeah, I got Durango big. No, I think I have them winning whatever to 10, 70. It should be.
Okay.
It's a rematch of a game earlier in the year. Durango won by 15. They win again.
Oh, they did win by 15. I was going to say, I might look back on that last game. I feel like these teams are pretty close. Maybe this one's a little bit closer, but I think Durango's legs are going to be fresh after they didn't really play last week. So I'm going to go Durango. We agree on that one. Canyon Springs at Desert Pines. This is around when Canyon Springs turns it on, finds a way to get to the state tournament. But Desert Pines, undefeated in league play after we both picked against them against Canyon Springs in the first game. Could Canyon Springs turn it around here and get past the Jaguars?
Canyon Springs also had a pretty ugly loss last week or 2 weeks ago. So surely they'll be in the state championship game, because I feel like every year we sit here and they lose a game they shouldn't be, and next thing you know, Freddie's got them rolling. But I think DP finishes off the season sweep of the Pioneers. They go undefeated in Northeast League play.
They lost a close game to Cheyenne, but I think we said that game was going to be close, right? It's not really a
was
terrible
it Cheyenne
loss.
Or I thought Legacy beat somebody they weren't supposed to as well. And my fault. I can't.
They beat up last week. They did also lose to Legacy. That was 2 weeks ago, though. I was looking at last week.
Okay.
Oof, that Legacy loss was bad, too.
I know.
You were right on. 19-point loss for Canyon Springs. Man, I was about to pick Canyon Springs, too, until I looked back 2 weeks. They were pretty good last week. They blew out Rancho and El Dorado. Not that that's saying much. I think this is a really close game. I would not be surprised if Canyon knocks off Desert Pines, but after I see that 19-point loss to Legacy, who, to their credit, Legacy's good, but I would not think they're 19 points better than Canyon Springs. That makes me a little concerned with the Pioneers. I got to agree with you and go with the Jaguars. Liberty at Foothill.
Yeah, the Falcons are flying high right now. If they win out, they win the league, which is important because then they'd avoid Gorman in the playoffs a little longer, I think. Granted, don't know how the playoff format is anymore, but I got the Falcons containing Strother and getting the dub.
63-61, the first time these teams faced off. Really close game. That was at Liberty. This one's at Foothill. But how about I go with the Ray Brewer best player on the floor theory?
That's a good theory.
I feel like Strother might have been bottled up a little bit in this game. I don't think he's going to be I think he's going to have a huge game and some big games coming up here. And he's got both Foothill and Coronado this week. I'm going to say he gets it together for Foothill. I'm going to say Liberty pulls off the upset. More chaos in the Southeast.
Uh-oh, that would be crazy talk. That right into Coronado's hands.
All right. Arborview at Centennial. Man, this is another big game on Wednesday night. Arborview's already beaten Centennial once. Right now in the Northwest, Arborview has a 1.5-game lead over Faith Lutheran and a 2-game lead over Centennial. So I don't think Centennial, I mean, they have to have a very small chance of winning the league. Arborview controls its own destiny, and I think they get it done. I'm going to go with the Aggies to win here.
I just know that in football this is a big game with chicken involved, and I think the Centennial students will show up and make the difference. And Centennial's not bad, not great, but I think they could get it done, even though Arborview has a massive advantage in the guard play. I got the Bulldogs and their fans.
All right, Arborview is coming off a loss. They lost to Faith Lutheran. I wanted to mention those. I don't think we ever did this on the football podcast. It might have been the week we were off because we were having technical difficulties. We're like the biggest advocates of the chicken rivalry. We're always talking about it. You know that it's basically done now?
Oh, is it?
Well, because there was that brawl last year.
Yeah.
Now all the coaches are like, do not get involved. We don't want Canes in this. Do not show up there no matter what you do. So I think that it might still mean something to the students, but the actual teams, I think they're trying to minimize it.
Yeah, well,
from when I was at the
game. For you and me, though, it's a rivalry.
Exactly. Well, who's Arbor and who's Centennial if we're fighting for rights to that Canes?
I'll be whoever wins.
Yeah. Well, we're never going to that Canes. That's kind of in a different area from us. But we are disagreeing. Well, I guess I answered my own question because I have Arborview and you have Centennial, so I'm red and you're blue.
Okay.
That's a change. That's not good for you.
No.
UNLV wise. All right. So we're different on two straight games. Can we make it three? Chaparral at Boulder City.
You know, I love my Cowboys, but I've said all along, I think Boulder's going to the dance all the way. I think they play DeMarcus Reed prep for the state championship game. Boulder needs this win to basically win the 3A Sunrise. I think they get it done at home.
Boulder 19-3 overall, 6-0 in division. Hard to argue against that. The Eagles are playing really well. I got to agree with you and go Boulder City. But Shap is not an easy out. Could be a close game. I just think Boulder City's got one too many guys.
I'll tell you this. Shap has gotten better this year. Steve Bentz, great guy, great coach. And the Boulder coach, John Ballester, another great guy and another great coach. It's weird to see two really great, consistent coaches at that level. But those two teams are well-organized.
Yeah, definitely agree. And, I mean, we shout him out all the time, but our guy Chris Sanders on the staff there.
I know.
Longtime friend of the show.
I
so
love, yeah.
Hate picking against
my
him.
I covered him when he played at Basic.
As well. Yeah, there you go, the Basic connection. On to two Thursday games to finish us out, then one Friday. Remember when I picked Clark to beat Gorman last time?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to say Gorman, but I am going to say a close game. I think you have this double digits. I'm going to say single digits. I'm going to say Jalen Hill stays out there, stays out of foul trouble, and makes it tight at the end. But I just think Gorman, you sold me on their defense. I think they make one too many plays down the stretch.
Yeah, I just, ever since the game 3 years ago at Cox Pavilion when Gorman frantically erased that deficit late in the state game, I just have thought that Clark, was a fish out of water.
Are they in their heads?
I don't know if it's that, but Clark can't be as bad as they were the first game this year against Gorman. They're at home. Jalen Hill's not going to be silent, but I just can't see them beating Gorman.
Yeah, I can see them winning. I feel like in this, how many games have they lost in a row to Gorman now? It's got to be like six or seven.
Yeah.
I feel like I've picked them in half of them, and they've just they've killed me, so I'm not going to make the same mistake again. I really think they have a chance to win one of these probably three games coming up against Gorman, but it's just hard to stick your neck out there when it's been chopped off time and time again. So we're both on Gorman.
That's a great analogy.
Just kind of threw that there off the top of my head.
Where'd you learn that?
I literally just made it up.
Okay.
You get lucky every once in a while, I guess.
Vegas
at El Dorado.
Oh, get my kitty cats. I love them, baby. They're young. They're like all soft. They have like one upperclassman and a bunch of sophomores. Carmona. You know, remember Coach Carmona?
From football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His son's the center. He's a sophomore.
Okay.
Big-bodied kid. They've got some sophomores that are doing some things. They're not going to compete with DP, but they're getting better, and I think they beat El Dorado.
Yeah, well, since you pick Vegas in every close game, I usually like to go the other way and pick against them. But this one is a little bit tough. Vegas did beat El Dorado earlier in the year.
What was the score of the game?
51-47, so it was close. This one is at El Dorado. I don't know, though.
Those two schools are very close.
Yeah. It seems like you're trying to talk me into it.
No, I'm not.
You only have it a three-point game. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Wildcats. Maybe I'm just swayed by another Ray Brewer theory, the name on the front of the jersey, but I think they got these young guys. I feel it's just hard for me to think Vegas is going to struggle that bad down the stretch. I think they're going to show some reasons for optimism heading into next year. So I've got Vegas. And then the last game of the week, which you are designated a coin flip game, Liberty at Coronado on Friday night.
Yeah, Strother, I think, has got something to prove in this game. Hardy went off for 40-plus the first time they met. Obviously, the kids know each other off the court. They're two top-tier recruits. Coronado's bruised and banged a little bit. I mean, obviously, they haven't been great. I think this is a slugfest, and I got Coronado barely winning. But I think Strother, who scored 50 once against Coronado last year, is going to have a game.
I just don't think Liberty can stop Coronado. I don't have enough faith in their defense. They gave up 97 points the first time they played this year.
And it's basically, I hate to say this, but it's basically a one-kid team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I feel like Coronado has a different level of player. That sounds bad, too. But I just think that I think they have one too many guys. I love Liberty. I picked them to win one upset this week, but I think they'll be high coming off of that one. And I just can't pick a team that gave up almost 100 points in a high school game to keep it close. I'm going to go Coronado wins this one comfortably. We're in here at this time next week talking about how Coronado's back. Definitely in the mix because I think they'll end up, I guess it would technically be a tie with Foothill. I don't know who was the tiebreaker, but I think they're both going to have.
And I don't know the tiebreakers either. Because
it wouldn't be a tiebreaker, actually, because Coronado would only have one loss. And Foothill, in my scenario, if Liberty wins.
Would have two.
Yeah. Nice. So I guess I'm going to say Coronado wins the Southeast. Yeah. For some reason, I've stayed on the Coronado bandwagon time and time again. But I think that's the way it's going to work out.
In them where they don't up the ante until the playoffs.
Yeah, that makes sense. And next week, playoff time, we'll... not sure exactly who's going to be playing, but we'll be here to break down some riveting matchups between teams with losing records until we get into the semifinals and the regional finals the next week and the state championship the next week. So still 3 more weeks. We'll try to get you a show every week. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now.